Now, today is World DNA Day, the day that celebrates the discovery and understanding of DNA and the scientific advances which that understanding has made possible. Have a listen now to Nobel laureate James Watson speaking frankly about how he and his research partner Francis Crick discovered the structure of DNA.
So I went to Cambridge because it was really the best place in the world then for X-ray crystallography. And X-ray crystallography is now subject to, you know, chemistry department. In those days, it was in the domain of the physicist. So the best place for X-ray crystallography was in the Cavendish Laboratory at Cambridge. And there I met Francis Crick. So Crick and I started building models, and I learned a little chemistry, but not enough. Well, we got the answer on 28th of February, 53, and it was because of a rule, which to me is a very good rule, never be the brightest person in the room. And we weren't. I mean, we weren't the best chemists in the room. I went in and showed them a pairing I'd done, and then Jerry Donahue, he was a chemist, he says, wrong. You got the hydrogen atoms are in the wrong place. I just put them down like they were in the books. He said they were wrong. So the next day, you know, after I thought, well, he might be right, so I changed locations, and then we found the base pairing, and Francis immediately said the chains run in opposite directions, and we knew we were right.
And they knew they were right. Well, one way that DNA is now used is to chart ancestry with a simple DNA test on ancestry.ie. It allows millions to fill in the holes in their family history and heritage. In studio with me now is Mike Mulligan from ancestry.ie and Frank McNally, who's chief writer of The Irishman's Diary with The Irish Times. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
So, first of all, what can you glean from this test and how does the test work?
Well, the DNA test, it's the same kind of things that at Crick and Watson and Franklin found. Your DNA is that blueprint that makes up your body, and you get half your DNA from your mother and half your DNA from your father. And based on that simple principle, it can go on and on, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, and so forth. So it means you share DNA with people who are your siblings and cousins. And using that allows us to tell two different things. One we call genetic ancestry, which is where we think your ancestors may have come from either in the last few hundred years or the last few thousand years. And the other thing, which is I have a lot of fun with, it also matches you up. We have 4 million people in our database, and it matches you up with people in that database. You share enough DNA that we think you're actually your cousins.
Okay. And how often does this happen? How many people have taken the test?
So 4 million people have taken the test so far. And in fact, it's growing almost exponentially right now. 1 million people have taken it this year already. And when you take the test, every time a new person takes the test, we check how many people in the database match you enough to say you're either a first cousin or a third cousin or a fourth cousin. But also, as you then take the test, new people will try and match them to you. At the moment, I have somewhere around 9,500 people who match me as cousins. Between my parents have taken the test all the way out to fifth, sixth cousin. So there's 9,000 people around the world out of our 4 million who I can say are my cousins.
Now, in forensics, you know, when they're looking at DNA to figure out who the criminal might be, they've got DNA in blood or saliva or semen or whatever at a crime scene, and they look at particular markers in the DNA to determine 100% the identity, and they say, you know, only one other person in 10 billion could be this, so therefore it's you. You're the one. How many markers do you guys use?
So we have 700,000 markers. Now, your DNA is quite large. You have about 3 billion letters in your DNA. So we use about 700,000 of those that allow us to infer various bits and pieces. And you will share half of that, obviously, with your mother, half of that with your father. And so we can use that to determine, okay, half of those 700,000 match up nicely. That's your parent. But then we can use up to very small amounts to tell you that you're even like a fourth or fifth cousin.
What happens? Suppose you have a bunch of tourists coming in and, you know, it's a whole family of them, and they all spit in and it turns out that one of the kids is not the child of the father in the group because it's a wise child that knows its own father. What happens then?
It has happened. It does happen. And we usually say that the DNA doesn't lie. So always go in with, you know, eyes wide open. The other side of that coin, we've actually found cases where people who didn't have parents and found parents through taking the DNA test. Because if you think about an adoptee or a foundling, they have no paper trail to go on. And for them, the first course of action, they do a DNA test. You know, really lucky they get a first cousin or a second cousin straight away. They've found a parent where
so
they didn't happen.
So if you're a runaway father or indeed a mother who's given up her child for adoption and doesn't want to be found, don't do this test on ancestry.ie.
Yes and no. It's a little more complex than that nowadays. It's one of those things about the way DNA is going. You may not have done the test, but your first cousin may have, or your second cousin
may have.
So
the trail will be there.
The trail will be there, yeah.
I was conscious when I did this a couple of months ago now. I was conscious of, I believe the euphemism is the risk of a non-paternity event in your DNA, which can be, depends on where you're from. I believe in one test that was done on a town in southeast England, they discovered that 30% of the supposed fathers of children in the town were not the biological fathers. That would be very unusually high.
30%?
Yeah, 30% in one particular place, an unnamed town. Somewhere.
So was it the window cleaner or the milkman? Very
the
active.
The local Genghis Khan, who Genghis Khan, as you know, is supposedly the male ancestor of half the population of Asia.
Yeah. Tell me about what's involved, Frank. You took it.
I took the test. It's not quite as simple as a spit into a vial. You have to, there's quite a few spits involved. You have to fill it up to a certain level. And I was doing this in a glass-walled office and trying to be as polite and discreet as possible. But it took me about 10 minutes. And then they put something in it, some sort of preservative agent. And then they mail it off to the States. And in a couple of weeks' time, they come back with a sort of the beginnings of a genetic map. I discovered my biggest discovery is that I am, in fact, I write a thing called The Irishman's Diary, and I have now proved, if nothing else, that I have the credentials to do that, because I'm 97% Irish, apparently, going back 1,000 years, is that right?
Yeah, going back 1,000 years, you're 97%, and going back the last few hundred years, we were able to tell that your DNA comes from Cavan Monaghan, so we were able to pin it down. Nice
which
enough, is, yeah.
Which does suggest a depressing lack of travel by my
but
my
where did the 3% come in? The 3% British?
Apparently, yeah, it's from Britain, yeah. Possibly Scotland, because a lot of my genetic cousins seem to be sort of northeast Ulster.
Were you hoping for some branch of royalty to be related to the
MacNallys? To be honest, I wouldn't have been disappointed if Genghis Khan was in there. I was kind of hoping for something slightly exotic.
So you've got nothing dramatic, really?
No.
Have you come across dramatic stuff then? You know, people that we would all know who've taken the test and discovered, lo and behold, that they were related to people with whom they might be naturally, say, for example, political enemies? You know, kind of a dev related to Michael Collins sort of thing.
I mean, we did put Michael Healy Ray down as a Corkman, which, you know, didn't go over well with his with his friends and family. But, you know, he is Cork Kerry border. We also, when we were doing a test with Maura Duran, we found that she was related to Blondie Coffey. So she was, they were fourth cousins. So we do find, especially in Ireland, we're not that far from each other. So you will match people. You think, oh, there's no way we're related, and you'll find out you actually are.
Yeah. You mentioned how far back we go. I mean, literally, can we go back to the time of Finn McCool, or where is the cutoff point?
So the different tests we do look at different time frames. The cousin test is obviously people who are alive. The community test, which is the most accurate, we've got 16 different parts of Ireland that we can tell you. That test goes back about 300 to 500 years. And then the ethnicity test, which looks at how Irish or British you are, that goes back about 1,500 years. That's kind of the time frames we're looking at.
Are we, I know that they used to like the idea of doing medical experiments and tests in Ireland because we were such a homogenous population. Mm-hmm. I suppose Iceland is a very homogenous population, but we were homogenous. But were we really? I mean, can you see the planters in there? Can you see the Normans in there? Can you see the Danes in there?
There is definitely some dividing lines internally, and it shows up in our ethnicity test. Anybody, say, west of the Shannon comes out very, very Irish. Anybody in southeast comes out slightly less so, and you'll see West European, which we could take to be Norman. You'll also see some Scandinavian in there, which we can sometimes
take. What about the Spanish influence? We were told that people in the west of Ireland who have very sallow skin and dark hair have Spanish blood.
It's a Donegal thing, or by anecdotally, it's considered a Donegal thing. The Black Irish.
I'm Donegal in my background, and we do have that anecdotally. from the genetics, we don't see anything that tells us that there's a big armada fleet docking on our, you know, our shores and, you know, coming out and getting friendly with all the natives. But what we do have is we got an Iberian component to our ethnicity test, and it does show up 1-3%, but it's very small in the West Coast.
One of the striking things about my genetic map, I have lots of cousins down along the east coast of Ireland, from Ulster down to just the fringes of Dublin, and then across the Drumlin Belt to Sligo, including Cavan, which would be controversial in Monaghan, where I'm from, but nothing in Fermanagh. It's as if we...
the border was there, even though...
It's as if the border was there centuries ago. I don't know why.
Some of the comments coming in. Glad the speaker mentioned Franklin, as she's often forgotten and doesn't get enough credit for her work with the DNA. This one, I was adopted as a baby. If I take this DNA test, is there a possibility I may find siblings using this test?
There is definitely the possibility, and it's becoming
more.
It depends on them having taken the test.
Will that DNA trace the one night stand sex from babies who are born?
Yeah. The DNA doesn't lie.
My father lived in Canada in the early 50s, and it was said he might have had two kids. I've tried on ancestry.co.uk, but no results. Would this DNA test be any help in this matter?
It really comes down to whether they're in the database or not. We're at 4 million and growing, so. Sometimes it's patient. There's one case I was working on 2 years ago and there was nothing for them, and it's coming through now that they're starting to get some results.
Yeah, it's interesting you talk about the different influence that are here. I have a thing called Dupuytren's contraction in my finger, you know, where the finger bends over. I had it operated on. It's fixed now. But it's called the Viking
finger, yeah.
So I can find out, because I have one of these Ancestry.ie kits here, I can actually find out if really I am a Viking.
It may just be your finger.
It may just be my finger. How much does the test cost?
So at the moment, because DNA Day, it's €70. Normally it's at €95.
€95.
Yeah, and to put that in perspective, the original DNA Day in 2003 was to celebrate both the discovery of the double helix, but also the publishing of the first human genome. First human genome cost $3 billion to produce, $3 billion. And now we're doing tests for like €70.
And where do people access this?
Ancestry.ie.
Ancestry.ie. It's a small kit, a lot of spit, and you find out if Bob's your uncle. All right. Thank you very much, both of you, for joining us. Mike Mulligan from Ancestry.ie and Frank McNally, who's chief writer, genuinely, or as Miriam would say, genuinely, of the Irishman's Diary.